Looking at the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and we're going to continue on in the book of Romans, and I just want to point out something very, at Val's expense, I'm going to point out something that I got ready to start teaching, and I turned my microphone on, and I said, okay, if everybody wants to start making your way to your seats, and as soon as I said that, Val got up and left. But then she came back, so I thought, boy, that reminds me of camp when I was back at camp. So I just had to pick on her a little bit. 2 weeks ago, we started in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, and we looked at the first two verses, and I just want to read those two verses in refreshing your memory. Paul writes, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And we looked at that 2 weeks ago, and then last week we moved on to the next couple verses there, where Paul goes on to say, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man of you, among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. As I look at chapter 12, I see it as Paul's stepping into addressing the church and how we should function. How we should function now that we have a good understanding of who we are in Christ, and now that we have a good understanding of what that life looks like, that it's God's holiness that he has imputed on us through Christ's death, now how should we look as a body of believers? And so this week I'm going to be moving on throughout the rest of this chapter and looking at that, and what Paul's setting up here as the foundation for how the church should be functioning. Paul addresses spiritual gifts in this chapter. And he does so in the context of us being a family. And in this particular instance, he uses the concept of us being a body. And he does that throughout Scripture when he talks about the family of God. And he talks about us being a body and how we should function as a body. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more as I go on, but I just wanted to bring that up to set the tone of what Paul is moving towards as he goes into this 12th chapter of Romans. Because earlier in the book, Paul speaks of the suffering that comes from a life in a world that does not acknowledge God. He talks about the suffering that we feel as we live our lives in Christ. And even though we're living our lives in Christ, we still suffer from the things as a result of what the world is outside of God's will, and suffer from what we ourselves bring upon ourselves in the areas in which we walk outside of God's will. And all that to say, Paul has set us up to understand that our life in Christ won't always be easy. Our life in Christ will often be filled with suffering. And Jesus even talks about it from the point of, if you understand that the world hates me, or if you see that the world hates you, understand first that the world hated me before it hated you. And so life as a believer is often full of suffering too. We have a wonderful opportunity to know and have a relationship with Christ, and to understand the freedom that we have because of the forgiveness that that relationship with Christ brings. But it also, we go through suffering. And so, as Paul's starting to address the church, if we remember that some of the things that we go through in our lives, he has known from beginning, and that he has made a way for us to deal with that pain, deal with that hardship. Life without the redemptive work of Christ and without the Holy Spirit living his life in us spirals down to destruction, to devastation, to disaster. And if you have any doubt of that, all you have to do is turn on the news. However, as believers, we don't have to deal with that. We don't have to go through that, because he has made us new, and he is growing us, and he is working in our lives. He is living his life in us. As believers, we become utterly dependent on the grace of God for our daily existence in our walk with him. Too often we don't recognize, or we don't give him praise for the work he is doing in our lives at the heart level. However, when our focus is correctly placed on him, we recognize the vital nature of his work in our lives. He has made us new creations. He is living his life through us. What a remarkable thing he has given us. What a remarkable gift he has given us to strengthen us as we go through this walk on earth, until that time when our bodies will be replaced with new heavenly bodies, and that we will see him face to face, because our spirits have already been changed. They have been made new. They have been made alive in him. That time will come when our bodies will be replaced with incorruptible bodies. But until then, we have this life where we still know suffering. God has given us remarkable gifts to deal with that. And his Spirit in our lives, pouring out his love on us, is one of the most incredible things that he has given us to strengthen us in that walk. But that's not the only thing he gave us. He placed within us, he placed within Christendom a network of support called his family, his body, the body of believers. It's that which Paul is now addressing in chapter 12 to start to help us to understand how to better function as a body, working together to strengthen each other and lift each other up. Because that's one of the most incredible things about the body of Christ, is our ability to strengthen each other and lift each other up. Now, granted, we don't always function the way that we should. Too often we allow our flesh to rule, and we allow ourselves to be led by our own selfish desires, and the body of Christ doesn't look quite like the body of Christ should. But as we're functioning correctly, as we're allowing Christ to live his life through us, then we do function well, and we do create a network of support for each other, that we can lift each other up and love and support each other. So as we start looking at the next few verses in chapter 12, I want to keep that in mind. And I'm going to read chapter 12, verses 4 through the end of the chapter. And then I want to discuss a little bit about how I see God using this body of Christ to strengthen and uphold each other, and how we as believers should be functioning within that body. So starting with verse 4 in chapter 12, Paul says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portion of his faith; if service, in his serving; or he who teaches, in his teaching; or he who exhorts, in his exhortation; he who gives, with liberality; he who leads, with diligence; he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devout to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly, and do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." When we stepped into our walk with our Savior, we stepped in as individuals, each bringing our own strengths and our own weaknesses into that relationship with our Lord. Now, religion would have us step into religion and therein be conformed to that religion, giving up our own individuality. But in our relationship with Christ, God uses our individuality. He uses that which we were and transforms it to become that which we are in Him. It creates in us a body that is very different from one another. I am not like you. And my relationship with my Lord does not look like the same thing as it does in your relationship with your Lord. The same Lord, of course. I made that sound like there's two different Lords. One of us have one and one. No. But with our relationship with our Lord, He uses the individualness of who we are to make the glory of who He is incredibly valuable to the body of believers. That each of us has our own portion, our own place, our own identity. In Corinthians, he talks about how the body is different. The head doesn't say, "I wish I were the hand because I could do this and that." And the hand doesn't say, "Oh, but if I were the head, I could do this and that." Each of us has our own place and our own position and the way the Spirit is working in us to bring about a beautiful picture of what the body of Christ should be. It is these gifts that God has given us that allow the church to be strengthened, to allow us to be able to lift each other up and to support each other. You often hear talk about your spiritual gifts. Well, what spiritual gift do you have? And then people start comparing their spiritual gifts and how it is and what it is, and they get lost in the spiritual gift and forget what the spiritual gift is for. I love it the way Larry used to put it when he taught on this. He said, remember back when you were a young child and you were invited to a friend's birthday party? Well, when you were invited to the friend's birthday party, you went home and you told your mom. And then your mom went out and bought them a gift and gave that gift to you, wrapped it up and gave it to you to take to the birthday party, and you gave it to them. It's very much similar to what God has done in our lives in our walk with our Savior. As the Holy Spirit is living His life out in us, these gifts are given through us to others. These gifts aren't something that are for us, but that which we can use to support the body. And as you read, as we read through the list of what Paul was talking about, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us, we notice that none of them really benefit the person who they are given to, but they benefit the body through that person who they're given to. So that's why I love the illustration Larry gave, because when I gave that gift to my friend, it was given through me, never really benefited me, but it benefited him. It did him good. The spiritual gifts that God gives us, if I could say it this way, it's the action of the Holy Spirit living His life through us with the uniqueness of who we are as it functions within the body of Christ. It is simply an expression of His life being lived out in us. As we allow the Holy Spirit to live His life in us, we therefore become tools to be strength to others within the body. However, it appears to me that there are two big lies that Satan tells us that tend to limit the effectiveness of the gifts that God has given us to use. The first one Paul addresses when he starts this chapter, when he starts talking about not thinking too highly of ourselves, because so often what happens as we start to exercise the gifts that God has given us to function within the body, very often we start thinking highly of ourselves, forgetting that it's not us, but Christ in us that is the hope of glory. And I believe that that's why Paul begins this discussion out about the gifts by reminding us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. It's very easy to lift ourselves up to say, well, look where I am. I'm standing up here in front of you teaching, and that means that I must be more important, right? Well, fortunately, I'm probably my worst critic. So when I stand up here in front of you teaching, I think, oh boy, I hope I've done at least something right. I hope I've said at least something right, and that you can take away something that God can use in your life to bring you closer in your walk with Him. But for very often, we start looking at what God has given us, the talents, the strengths, the functioning of the Holy Spirit within our lives, and we say, oh, look how good I am. Look what I am doing. Look what I am doing for the body. Look what I just did for that person. And we forget that it's not us. It's Christ in us, working in us to bring about His glory for His church, to strengthen His body, to bring each other closer to Him. It reminds me very much of a story I once heard. Now, for those of you who know me very well, you know that I love British history. And throughout British history until the advent of the camera, where a picture was able to be taken of a monarch or a ruler, and it was an actual picture. We got an actual visual of what they looked like. Before that time, they would have their pictures painted. And the artists that painted them often embellished a little bit in the painting to make them look better than they did. And this goes back way before British history. If you look at the pictures of the Roman Caesars, or the statues of the Roman Caesars, they looked remarkable. Strong and good-looking and powerful leaders. But often they weren't quite as remarkable as the statues in the pictures would portray them. At the end of the English Civil War, when they fought to decide whether they were going to keep the monarchy or not. And at that point, Charles I was beheaded, and they placed in his place Oliver Cromwell, who became Lord Protector. And for that short period of time, there was no king. He reigned as Lord Protector, and it was a republic. And the time came for him to have his portrait painted. And when he addressed the artist that was going to paint his picture, the artist kind of was getting his opinion on how he should paint him. And he said, "I want you to paint me as I am, warts and all." And I think that that is how we need to live our lives in Christ. That's how we need to live out, allow the Holy Spirit to live out His life in us, that we are not afraid to be painted as we are. We're not afraid to be who we are. We don't have to put on the airs that the gifts that we have are any better than they are, than somebody else. We are not more important than another part of the body. We are not more essential than another part of the body. We are painted, warts and all. The second great lie that I think Satan tells us that limits our functioning in our walk with our spirit, with the Spirit, is that just the opposite. It's the opposite shore of thinking more highly than ourselves, but it's the thinking of, I'm not good enough to minister. I'm not capable enough. It's not believing that God can effectively use us within the bodies that we inhabit. We hold back our gifts thinking that it will not be good enough. It will not be acceptable enough. And in doing so, we rob ourselves of the benefit of God's gift, what God's gift can bring to the lives of our family, and the joy that that can bring to us as we see Christ working within us to help others, to help bring others closer to Him. Or that our gifts that we have aren't as worthy. I don't have the ability to stand up and talk, or I don't have the ability to evangelize, or I don't have the ability for that. All I can do is this. And so therefore we hang back in the shadows and we don't do that which we could. We don't say that which we ought because we don't think of ourselves as good enough or functional enough. And in that we've forgotten again that it's not us, that it's the Holy Spirit working in our lives to strengthen each other. And that sometimes the gifts that are so valuable to each other are not the ones that are the showy gifts. It's not the ones of the person who stands up in front of 5,000 people and preaches Christ crucified with hundreds coming to know the Lord as a Savior. Sometimes it's those small things, those small gifts of service. As I was listening to Larry teach on this, he brought out a statement that was made to him back when he was in Bible college. And the statement was, those who can do, those who can't teach. And it taught him that there's not a hierarchy in the gifts that God gives us. But whatever gifts that he gives, that we should be doing with all of our strength, allowing the Holy Spirit to live his life through us in the best way that we can allow him to do that. I remember when I was back at camp, there was a line that Ted used to often use in when he was addressing the counselors in the summer. He would often say that, isn't it funny that the Holy Spirit never leads anybody to clean toilets? Isn't it funny that the Holy Spirit never leads anybody to wash dishes, but that the Holy Spirit seems to only lead people to be in program where it's fun, where you get the attention. And obviously he wasn't really saying that that's what the Holy Spirit was doing, but he was pointing out the fact that we often glorify those showy things, those things that we put in a hierarchy of the gifts. We lift the gifts up in order of what we think is the most important. But sometimes the most important thing that we can do is clean a toilet or wash somebody's dishes. Sometimes the most important thing that we can do is just be there for a brother or sister in need, loving each other. And as this chapter draws to an end, I love the way Paul brings it all together. And I've got to turn back because I foolishly closed my Bible. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. I'm almost there. Where he starts out in chapter 12 talking about how we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice and how we should not be conformed to the world and how we should not think higher of ourselves. And then he talks about the gifts and how we should use those gifts and how we should allow the Holy Spirit to live his life through us. And then in verse 9, he's brings it all together by saying, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Our society has a tendency to measure things by how much, how big, how many. But God measures things by how we are meeting the needs of those who He has put in within our sphere of influence. And I'll use another illustration that Larry used to use. He talked about the concentric circles that happen when you toss a stone into a pond. And when you toss a stone into a pond, it makes the plop, and then those concentric circles go out. And if you will look at those concentric circles, the ones closest to the center, if you put yourself in the center, the ones closest in the center are those people who God gave us to minister to. So the people that are the closest to you, how are you ministering to those? It's not how much, how many, how big. It's how are we ministering to those who God put within the sphere of influence in our lives. This is how the church should work. And this is one of the beautiful things I see within this local body of believers. Because I see as we function and as we work, maybe not as good as we always should, but I see this body of believers reaching out to each other, lifting each other up, holding each other in higher esteem than ourselves, and ministering to the needs of each other as we equip each other to come closer to Him and function well as a body of believers. And with that, I'm going to conclude, and we'll go on to finish the end of chapter 12 next week. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for not only providing us with Your Spirit to live in us, pouring out His life, pouring out His love for us in our hearts, but also for giving us each other, that we can love and be loved, that we can grow up together, holding each other up, strengthening and encouraging each other. Help us to be faithful as we do that. Help us to be faithful to allow Your Holy Spirit to live His life through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.